Acts declares that you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Acts chapter 2, they were in one place, in one accord, 120, and all of a sudden, the Bible says, just like a rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire over each one's head, they began to speak in another language that was not their own. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it is important because it builds up yourself in the most holy faith. It is praying things that you don't know and worshiping things that you don't know. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, that you are connecting spirit to spirit and that he is literally worshiping through you or speaking divine secrets. So you could be praying about your future. You could be praying something off. You could be praying and changing your future by praying in other tongues. It's powerful. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit will pray through you in groanings that cannot be uttered in natural ways. God wants to move through you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's private. Public tongues are for the church. So what you'll have, and usually it is this young lady right here, she'll come off with tongues, and then all of a sudden interpretation will come. Now, tongues in a public arena are for the edifying of the saints. Now, in our church, we definitely believe in speaking in tongues. How many of you have ever heard somebody speak in tongues out loud at church? Of course you have, because we do that on purpose to make sure that we remain a tongue-talking church. Amen? Most of the churches, they hide the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't want to offend anybody or scare anybody. Well, I'm sorry. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, that the people were mesmerized and perplexed because they were where they were speaking in other tongues. That's okay. We don't mind people to be mesmerized and perplexed. Why? Because we're talking about a supernatural gift, not a natural gift. And the Bible says that as we'll talk in the tongues of angels and or of men. So tongues sometimes is understood in the natural realm because of the natural language, tongues of men and or tongues of angels, and that the Holy Spirit will speak a language through you that you don't know and nobody on the planet knows. It's between you and God. When we get to public tongues, there's a necessity to make sure that there's an interpretation for public tongues. Now, let me qualify this. Many times on a church Sunday morning, you'll hear me praying tongues, and if you get anywhere near the altar, my wife is praying in tongues through the entire service. Those are not public tongues. Those are private tongues. So that's prayer or worship. But when a public tongue comes, there is a massive hush over the congregation. It is an automatic thing that you don't even have to wonder. I remember we were at Rod Parsley's, and this was back in 1993. We were at Rod Parsley's. It was at the camp meeting, and there were 5,000 people in the building. My wife and I were sitting on the second row. And all of a sudden, in the middle of worship, somebody from way, 5,000, way back, started shouting out in tongues during worship. And literally, no one had to say anything. A hush came on the entire congregation as they were speaking in other tongues. You knew it was God. The hair went up on the back of your head. You just knew it was God. And how can you hush 5,000 people by just somebody shouting, getting loud in the back? It was the Holy Spirit. Everything went quiet, and all of a sudden there was an interpretation, and the interpretation was that God is raising up a new generation that is going to move in the supernatural power of God, and he is proving that this is you by your hands are vibrating. When the person started praying, shouting out in tongues in the back of the congregation, literally my hands started to vibrate, and when the interpretation came, then I understood exactly what it meant. And my wife looked at me and she goes, were you yours too? And I said, yep, mine were too. It was so powerful because it literally, tongues in the interpretation, hushed 5,000 people at one time. I remember one of the very first services, Easter services, I had in Newfield, New York when I was pastoring up there. We had just started renting. Does everybody know where the post office is in Newfield on Route 13? You know, you're just coming in 13, the big post office right there. Well, that used to be our church. So we were there and having a great church service, and this was Easter Sunday morning. So we were packed at like 100 people then. And so all of you back then, 100 people was like, woohoo. And so 100 people packing out. Now you got to know something. Up there, the primary denomination was Baptist. Remember, I want to remind you that the Baptists do not believe that the gifts of the Spirit are for today. They believe they ceased in the first century church. So, all of a sudden, this lady named Deb started shouting out in tongues in the middle of the worship service. I'm not talking like whispering, I'm talking, rah! And I'm thinking, oh boy, here we go. And then she gave the interpretation, and when Deb gives the interpretation, she still comes to this church. When Deb gives it, she gets really excited. Her hand starts to flap like a little bird. She just starts shouting out, and she's getting real excited. And I'm going, oh, yeah, okay, here we go. So tongues interpretation, it was definitely the Lord. It was powerful. But I know I had mostly all Baptists in our church service. And so Sunday afternoon, I don't know if you realize it or not, but Sunday afternoon is when people are mad at the pastor. That's when they call him. So I waited by my phone waiting for it to ring, and of course, it started to ring. And a key lady, like a key lady in the congregation, solid Baptist lady, calls me up and she goes, Pastor, that was very different. And I said, yes. She said, I'm really not sure what that was. I said, well, that was tongues with the interpretation of tongues as a gift of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. To encourage and strengthen the body. She goes, I don't know. I still don't understand it, but I just want you to know. There was no way that wasn't God. Their hair was standing up on the back of my head, and I knew that was Jesus. And I went, phew. We didn't lose one person that Easter Sunday morning, because that was real. Tongues interpretation are very powerful, and they are a sign, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, a sign to the unbeliever. So you want, these are powerful and they're great gifts. Now, what's important is if you're going to speak in other tongues as a gift of the Spirit, you need to also pray that you can interpret. I remember one time I was praying for this individual. I'll tell you a little bit of the story. I had a friend of mine. He's actually a pastor up near Rochester. And his wife, at that point, girlfriend, fiance, had a sister in Texas. I know it gets a little complicated. Here we go. And so the Lord laid that girl on my heart. Now, I'd never met her, but he just laid her, I mean, a heavy burden. If you've never had a burden from God, I'd encourage you to ask for one. It was a heavy burden, and I had never met her. I had never even talked to her. But for 2 hours a day, I'd be praying for this girl. She was in a backslidden condition. Now, for 2 months, 2 months went by, and I'm praying in the Spirit. And one day, I just said, you know, God, I want to know what I'm praying. Because I'm praying in the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in tongues for an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, praying for this girl. And I remember saying, I just want to know what I'm praying. And it was so wild. I broke out in worship in tongues, worshiping in tongues. And all of a sudden, the interpretation came of what I was worshiping. It was so stinking cool. I prayed that it could interpret, and I was able to interpret that even praise song that God had put in my heart. So it's really fun. You need to pray that the Holy Spirit will start using you in that gift. Now, what happens is, sometimes you got a bunch of Fruit Loops. Now, I want you to realize, bugs go to light. When God starts moving in a church, a lot of nuts, flakes, and what was the other one? Fruit, flakes, and nuts come to church, some of them, you know what I mean? It gets a little weird because everyone wants to be, the strange people want to be heard. Now, what we do here at His Tabernacle, if you have what you know is a tongue from God for the body of Christ, we don't want you to shout out loud. Because the fact is that no one can hear you. And if it's God, we want you to be heard. So usually when Sister Shirley will break out in tongues, we have somebody ready to rock and roll. And they run down and they put a microphone to her mouth. Well, why? Well, because this is to edify the whole body. So we want the whole body to hear. What happens is sometimes nuts and flakes will come in for only one reason, and that is to be heard. So at his tabernacle, we are careful. We don't let just anybody move in a public gift like that anytime and any way they want. We do that for the protection of the body. Now I can tell you, and I'll tell you one. When we first started the church, we were at the Horseheads Holiday Inn, which is now the Quality Inn. Now, I don't know how much more quality they got out of the inn, but it's there. And so we started there, and I remember one Sunday, I think we were running maybe 30 or 40 people. This dude, he was a visitor. We were in the middle of worship, and all of a sudden, he just started belting out tongues, and he gave it the interpretation. He's saying, "The Lord is saying you had better repent, or I'm going to destroy you, and I'm going to burn you, and you better be right before me because your worship is impure." And I finally said, "Hey, sir, why don't you just be quiet?" No, it was no edifying at all. Were you there that service? Amen. She was there. Wow, you've been here a long time. So it was cool because I shut the dude down because he wasn't building the body of Christ. He just wanted to be heard. So we are careful here. And if somebody has a tongue they know it's a gift of the Spirit, they can come up. They can ask. One of the ushers will be right here. The security are here. And if you try to bum rush the altar, you'll probably end up in a ball on the floor. But, you know, ultimately, if it's God, we want God to be heard. Amen? But we don't need people that want to be showstoppers. Amen? Amen. So tongues interpretation equal prophecy. Now, I want to remind you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that we should lust after spiritual gifts and that you may prophesy. Every believer should prophesy. Every believer should prophesy. Every believer should prophesy. Hope he doesn't mean me. If you're an every, then you should be prophesying. Now, that doesn't always mean that you're going to prophesy in public. We're going to cover there are different levels of prophecy that we want to talk about. Number one, we call it the flower prophecy. What is a flower prophecy? Flower prophecy is just something sweet and something nice. And what do we mean by that? You know, the Lord wants you to know that he loves you today and that you're important to him. That's a flower prophecy. They're sweet. They're beautiful. You know, the Lord gave me a verse for you. And God will sometimes put a verse on you or somebody else. And that's the verse they need that will bring them over and through their trial. So you need to know that sometimes God's going to put a verse on your spirit for a person. And when he does that, you need to give him that verse. There are other times that he just wants you to go up and smile at him and shake their hand and tell them that they're loved and that they're important. You might think that that's nothing. We make the gifts of the Spirit so spooky, but they're actually so simple. It's God conveying his love to somebody else through a gift. Now, I want to remind you that prophecy is a conveyor belt. So we talked about the conveyor belt. The word of knowledge is spoken by prophecy. It comes on the conveyor belt. The word of wisdom is conveyed through your mouth, which would be prophecy. It's the conveyor belt. So all the gifts that are verbal are ushered through the gift of prophecy. Level two, here we go. It is aimed at a specific person or a group. So level two, you usually find it being more detailed. Now, that's really fun. There are times that I'll just look at somebody, and I will just take the last baptism. I looked at somebody at the last baptism, and I knew that they had been physically and emotionally abused. And I just looked at them, and I said, "The Lord wants you to know the abuse that you have gone through, that he is going to heal your heart, and that's what's going to happen today in the water baptism." And you've been spoken a lot of things, that you are worthless, that you were no good. It was not only by a parent, but also by a spouse. And she just bawling, you know, because later she let me know that everything that was spoken was true. Well, what gifts are you seeing there? Word of knowledge. Nope, no wisdom. Yep, no future. So word of knowledge, a bit of someone's, or that you personally could not know. So the word of knowledge was there, and prophecy was there. What was prophecy? Well, prophecy was that God is going to heal you. God is going to restore you, the building, the strengthening, the building up of, on that conveyor belt of prophecy. So the second layer is when somebody gets a little bit more detailed in your life. The third is when you get extremely detailed. Brother Ted is probably one of the tightest in prophecy that I know, and he's ready to come back. I'm excited. You know, the week he was supposed to be here last year, he fell and hurt his knee and actually was supposed to be dead. Many people don't know what ended up happening was he's a miracle today. He had been on that diet, drinking a little bit too much water, a lot of water. He lost 130 pounds, 140 pounds, drinking all that water, but he didn't realize he had depleted all of his nutrients. And the reason he fell was he lost all of his strength. So when he fell, the doctor looked at him and looked at his mother and his wife and said, most likely he's not going to make it. You know, he said the sodium level in his body is zero. The only time I've ever seen zero is dead. The lowest he had ever seen on somebody alive, I guess, was 10. And so he said, he's probably not going to make it. Well, of course, that's not an option because God's not done with him. So God raised him up. It's just a powerful thing. But, he's ready to come back. He's all restored and ready to come back. I can't wait to have him. He really wanted to come in November, but we already had some speakers coming. But Brother Ted, I've watched Brother Ted literally look at somebody and tell them their address. I remember when he prophesied over you two. He told you when you walked out into the little hallway, the steps that were going down, the boots that were on the steps, and the picture that was on the wall. He described the closet, what was in the closet, everything. Yep, the color of the carpeting, color of everything. I've seen him one time. It was so powerful. Now, this is what we're talking, prophecy in extreme detail. I remember he called a man down and he goes, you know what? If I was your mother, I'd have called you John. And really, that's not the word. I don't remember what name he said. And the guy said, well, that is my name. He goes, yes, it is. And you live on this street, don't you? That's your house number, isn't it? Yes, sir. He said, do I know you? He goes, no. He says, then how would I be able to tell you that unless this is God? When Brother Ted comes, man, you're just going to love how he moves in the Holy Spirit, moves very powerfully, and the gifts, this gift especially, is very, 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 very detailed. He told Brother Ed, I remember, how many stents that you had. He told me he had 3 stents, where they were at in his heart, what else was physically wrong with him. What was that? What he did for a living, how many years he did it, all these details. And then I saw him lay hands on him, and he went out in the Holy Spirit. And then I looked at him, and he laid hands on Sister Shirley again, blew her right out of her shoes. No, it was so powerful. She literally went right out of her shoes. She flew backwards. It was so powerful. Yep. It's... Yeah, it was just boosh. Yeah. You remember that? You were there? You were there for the... Wow, it was powerful. Man, I'm telling you, the gifts of the Spirit, especially when the prophecy is like, wahoo, detailed. It is so stinking cool. I remember my wife and I were at this prophetic conference up in Rochester again, and a prophet looked at me and he said, the Lord says that you and your wife were talking about this the other day in your bedroom about the ministry and wondering where God was going to take you. He said, this is where you've been for the last 5 years, word of knowledge. He said, this is where you are right now and why your wife and you were talking about this, whether you're going to stay in Newfield or not stay in Newfield. That's called the word of knowledge, past or present. But he said, this is where you're going to be for the next 5 years. And this is what God's going to use you in the next 5 years, the word of wisdom. All conveyed on prophecy. Details, like there's no way that you would just know that. That's God releasing knowledge. So it builds and encourages. So prophecy is very powerful, and there are different levels of prophecy, and I just want you to know that God wants to start using you. You need to ask God while you're out and about. Lord, who do you want me to encourage today? Lord, who do you want me to build up today? What do you want me to tell them today? And I want you to realize that when you posture yourself for the Holy Spirit to use you, he will use you. If you give him the opportunity to use you, he will use you. You just need to ask him. What would you want to say? In fact, when I was learning how to move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I remember talking to a man named David Ireland, who I watched him prophesy over 50 people at one time. He went down the row and was not giving like flower stuff. The dude was giving like details of exactness and details of exactly what they were thinking, what they were going through, where they had been, what they had done. Went through 50. Boom, 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 boom. It was powerful. So I was able to sit with him, and I'm sitting with him at a restaurant with Pastor Mary Edlin, and I asked him a question. And you see, that's what you want to do when you're around men and women of God. You don't want to talk too much. You want to ask them questions and then just shut up. Amen. That's how you learn. So I said to him, I said, how did you get to be so tight in the word of knowledge? How did you get to be so tight in prophecy? And he said, I used to go eat in restaurants alone on purpose a lot. And I said, okay. And he said, but I'd sit there and I'd say, Holy Spirit, what would you say to that one? Holy Spirit, what would you say to that one? Holy Spirit, what would you say to that person? And he said, I would just sit there and ask that, and the Holy Spirit would speak to my heart. He said, I was learning how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite times, Brother Ted had just got done ministering up in Newfield. Boy, I remember that, those services, Deb. Ministering up in Newfield, we went down to the Chinese restaurant after service to eat. And we sat down in the Chinese restaurant, and he went, that person's got cancer. That person over there is homosexual. That person is having an affair, getting ready to leave their husband. That person, and he went right through the restaurant. I went, dude. And what it is that prophecy, remember, the gifts are conveyed through the conveyor belt called prophecy. So whenever somebody's prophesying, you usually can sit back and see which gifts are available, which gifts are being used. There are times, I remember this one time, a mother brought a child up to get prayed for. And Brother Ted looked at the child and said what the issue was. It's not what anybody thought it was. And the person was healed. We would never have thought. So these are important gifts. So there are three levels to prophecy. Flower prophecy, minimal detail prophecy, and then extreme detail. And you'll grow in those gifts. There are times that I will have the extreme, but it's not as often. Mainly what happens when you're in the body of Christ, when I go out on the road, I'll move far more in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've literally prophesied over hundreds of people at just going right through down through the line. But what happens is when you're in your home church, familiarity ends up breeding contempt, which means that you don't draw from the gift that you have in the house because you see them all the time. It's just, they're kind of normal to you. A guest speaker will come in, like Brother Teddy, and you'll draw from that gift. And that's okay, and that's why we have the five gifts coming to the church. But sadly enough, I'll go to another church. We just not too long ago came back from Indiana. When we came back from Indiana, we had done two services, and the power of God was flowing so strong, I don't think there was more than two people that remained standing in the entire building. The power of God was so strong, people were being healed all over the place. Prophecy was flowing. Word of knowledge was very tight and very crisp. But they were drawing from the gifts, drawing from the gift of the Holy Spirit that was deposited in my heart. And you see, the more you draw from the giftings of the person that's there, the more evidence you will see. And that's important. I'll be able to pray for somebody. You know, when I pray for folks, I'll look for the person who has the draw. Because you can feel the draw in the Spirit. And you'll wait for them, and then that's where you want to start. Because you can see their faith. You can feel the drawing in the Spirit. And it's important. And one of the hard challenges is, because I'm such a friendly person, and this is one of the challenges of being such a friendly person, is that a lot of people will see you more as your buddy than see you for really the gifting that you carry and the call that's on your life. And that's one of the challenges of the local church. It's not a good challenge, it's a bad challenge. And somehow, sometimes we really would strive, and next year I'll be preaching a series of messages that I haven't preached in many years on spiritual parenting, just to bring a realignment to the body of Christ. That, you know, the gifts that you have in the church, remember Jesus gave gifts to men, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and evangelist, for the edifying of the saints, for the building up the three things. Never mind. So anyways, the fact is that knowing the gift that you have in the house allows you to draw from the gifts that God has given you. And when you don't draw for them, then the gift remains more dormant. And so that's why when we bring in evangelists, you'll see more power. That's why when you bring in an evangelist, you'll have even a stronger service. Not that they're stronger than what you have in the house, but you're drawing more from them. You're pulling more electricity from the pole. Okay? That's how it works. All right. Some things we don't do here with prophecy. Number one, we never do parking lot prophecies. Anybody understand what that means? Somebody comes up to you and says, I have a word from you. I have a word from God for you. You go, thank the Lord. Let's find a pastor. One of my favorites was a lady came in the door one day. I was in my office. She came in the front door. It was during the daytime. And she found one of the staff members and said, I have a word for the pastor. So I came out in the foyer. Came out in the foyer. I said, hi, how are you? I knew who she was. I recognized her. I said, hi, how are you? She goes, great. I have a word from God for you. And I says, well, I have a question for you. I says, you know, where do you go to church? And she said, the Lord has sent me to all the churches. I said, well, who's your pastor? Oh, the Lord Jesus Christ is my pastor, and he's who I submit to. And I just go and give the words to the local pastors as the Holy Spirit leads me. I said, you're a bastard. I don't want to hear a word out of your mouth. You're in submission to nobody. When you're not submitted under anybody, then you have no voice. Well, pastor, that word bastard is pretty strong. Well, the word of God talked about that. That's the only time in the King James Version I can swear like that. The Bible says if you're not disciplined, you're no more than a bastard, which means you don't have a father. It means you don't have anybody you're submitted to. And because this person submitted to nobody, I wasn't going to hear what they, quote unquote, call the prophecy coming out of their mouth. Because why would I listen to somebody that has no submission to anybody? Jesus himself submitted to the Father. If it was good enough for Jesus to submit, it's good enough for us to submit. Amen? Everybody's got to be submitted to somebody. Everybody's got to be submitted to somebody. In this house, we probably have maybe 250 to 300 people out of the entire congregation that I'm actually their pastor. The rest of them, they're not submitted to me. They're not submitted to my spiritual authority. They're not submitted to the calling. And they're not submitted to the church. They just do whatever they want, say whatever they want, go wherever they want, do whatever they want. It's totally different when you're submitted. When you're submitted, there's a blessing that comes on you from the house. I don't know why we're there, but let's move on. What happens is when somebody says that to you, you need to look at them and say, I don't need you to prophesy without a pastor. The Bible says, judge prophecy. Every prophecy you get should be judged. What does that mean? That means by a pastor, by a leader, they should hear the prophecy with you and be judged. Somebody says, well, I don't have time. I've got to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you're really led by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Ghost will wait a minute. Amen? So don't allow anybody to manipulate you. If you are going to have somebody come up and say, I have a prophecy, I have a word for you, that's okay. It could literally be from God, and that's what we want. But you want it judged. Don't you just let them speak to you, especially in the parking lot. Some people really like to do that. That's their fame. I've got a word for you. Well, I got a word for you. Find a pastor. Yeah. I'm on speaking terms of God. He'll tell me. And really, that's the big part is prophecy is important. The Bible says, despise not prophecy. Prophecy is important for your life. In fact, we are now looking to bring a prophet in. That's one of the fivefold ministry gifts, the apostle, the prophet. It's very hard to find a solid prophet. But we're going to bring a prophet into the house. And when we bring them into the house, we're going to give them opportunity to minister to you in the prophetic. And that's the exciting part. Maybe we'll do a prophetic conference and we'll bring in like five solid prophets. And what you usually do is you just sign up when you and your family want to come and you'll be able to get ministered to in the Holy Spirit. Prophecy is important. We need the prophetic word. We need the prophetic utterance in our lives as a confirmation and an encouragement from God, because it's God speaking to you from heaven through a human. And that gift is powerful, and you need that gift. You need it to be used in your life, both for you personally and for you to use it for other people. So we are going to bring in a prophet, which we're just having a challenge finding one. How many of you remember Prophet Davidio? We used to have Prophet Davidio in all the time. How many of you don't remember Prophet Davidio? It's probably been 3 years, maybe four, since we brought him in. He's just now up there age-wise. And the last time we used him was for a Rock Solid Faith graduation. And we had like 30 to 35 people. And by the time that night was over, the cowboy was tired. He's 84, 85 now, I believe. Not that that's old. It's not old. But he was tired after all that. And then we still had one more night to go. So we haven't called him back down, but we need to find a prophet. Amen? So turn to someone and say, all prophecy should be judged. Amen. Any more questions? Any questions on the verbal gifts? Hi, Josh. Any prophecies on any question? We got a question in the back. Young man! Where's your cowboy boot? All the way in the back.
In the example that you gave where you and your wife's hands were shaking.
Yes.
Okay, the hand shaking, is that like a sign or a wonder?
I think it was probably more of a wonder simply because that was what God was doing in that specific service to confirm who those men and women were that he was going to use in that end time outpouring. So that was not for every time. That was just for that specific time. So sometimes you'll find things that are for more like a wide paintbrush, and other times it's a real tight sash. And that was a more of a sash brush situation. Hold on, I'm getting on here. If you're online and you have questions, I'm getting over to there now so we can see if you have comments or questions concerning what we're talking about. It's hard to believe we pay almost $600 for this internet and it's still this slow. Whoop, I turned it off. I hit the wrong button. Okay, anybody online? I'm here now. Anybody online that has a question? I guess the volume is fixed. Very good. Hi, Casey. How are you? I see you watching me. He's right back there. Okay. Let's talk about the power gifts. So there are three knowledge gifts. The word of... Woo, you guys are quick. Okay, ready? There are three knowledge gifts. The word of... The word of... The discerning of... There are three verbal gifts. Tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And then there are three power gifts. And they are the gifts of... The gift of... The working of... Very good. So, we've already covered six. Does anybody have any questions on the six? The word of... Word of... Discerning of... I had to think about that one, huh? Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. And prophecy. So now we're going to... Yes. Well, we got a question here in the front row. You got to use the microphone because they can't hear you online.
I've been thinking about what, you know, you've been teaching on this. And I was in the store last week, and I said, well, you know, I want to try and use this. And I felt that I had a word for a woman that I did not know.
Yep.
And I was afraid to do anything with it because it was a woman I did not know.
Right.
So I didn't do anything with it. And later on, I felt convicted.
Yep. That's when you should have said something.
Yeah.
But you see, you won't know that conviction unless you don't do it. So this is all a learning process. Yeah. And so that's the great part, the exciting part. The worst thing that can happen is you're wrong and she thinks you're crazy. As long as you don't call it in, you're safe. But honestly, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you're not always going to hit it. You know what I mean? There are times you're not always going to be right. I've had times where, well, I'll give you an example. We had a powerful man of God come in when we were in Newfield. And this person was standing here, and he started speaking over them prophetically and word of knowledge, like very crisp detail. And that person just looked at him and said, that isn't me. And the lady behind went, that's me. So he was off one. We had a prophet come in from New Jersey one time, and he was prophesying over this person here that you're going to write children's books and that God's going to use you, and he's going to, well, that wasn't this person. That was two down. So remember, we prophesy in part. You know, not everybody's perfect in the gift of prophecy. There's a guy named Little David. He started preaching when he was 5 years old. He's elderly now. But Little David is known either he's all the way on, like crisp, hot details, or he's all the way off, way gone. So we got to remember that all these gifts you're working through people, they're not perfected. And people make mistakes. That's why the rules are edifying and building. Because when you walk up to someone and say, you're going to hell, the Holy Ghost told me, that's just not encouraging. And they can be a better Christian than you, amen? So, you know, be a builder, be a strengthener. Questions, I saw your hand. Oh, way back there. There's an online question. Oh, I see it. Can someone ask if you have a prophecy for them? That is a really good question. I've actually had a lady one time say to me, I just need a word from God from you. And I said, then read your Bible. Because we are not psychics. Okay? This is not the psychic network. Hi, I need a word. There was a preacher that was on TV for years. You send me $300, I'll send you a personalized prophecy. Listen, anybody saying that to you? They're Fruit Loop. Don't send me your $300. Sow it in your home church. Amen. You know, don't buy into that foolishness. You can't buy a prophecy. That's called psychic network. Amen. Yeah, and it's called witchcraft. Exactly. So that is not what God does. I've had people come up to me and really honestly, Lisa, they've said to me, they've said, you know, I'm just really heartbroken and I need God. I need something from the Lord. And the Lord would drop something in my spirit. But they weren't asking for a word. They were just telling me they were in a position of needing a word. So, you know, if people are asking you for a word, we had this lady who was very crisp in the prophetic. And people just started going to her, asking her for a word. You got a word? You got a word? You got a word? I looked at her and said, you're not allowed to give any more. I said, because their eyes are not on Jesus, they're coming to you. And God shares glory with nobody. Amen? Did I answer your question, Lisa? Yes or no?
La, 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 la.
Hi, Tina Austin. Okay, let's get into the power gifts. The power gifts are gifts that are literally power that don't come from you as a human. They are supernatural exploits, supernatural power of God. In our church, we see healing and miracles a lot. How many of you have ever had a healing or a miracle in this church? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right just sitting here. 10 folks have had healing and miracles right here. You know, in most churches, you ask, how many of you have ever seen a miracle? Most churches don't see miracles. That's normal here because this is the culture. We believe in the Book of Acts culture that miracles and signs and wonders are normal. The supernatural is normal. Tell somebody, the supernatural is normal. Now, the gift of faith is the first one that we're going to cover. This is not the same as having faith. We're all to have faith. We know that according to James chapter 5, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. That's not what this is talking about. This is a supernatural, Holy Ghost, adrenaline-boosted faith treatment from God that takes you and brings you into a whole different realm. It is so amazing because, let me say, faith is like every man who can build through a... Faith is like every man can build through exercise. It's like going to a gym each week. You see your strength increase. At one time, you could lift 50 pounds, but after 6 months, you can bench 150. This gift has nothing like that. This is nothing you can build. This is a gift that is automatically just, boosh, you got that beast. Have you ever noticed Brother Ted, if you know him, Brother Ted, before he starts moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, he always sings those old songs. I'm talking songs older than Some Rose. Sorry, I had to say it. Older than whole rows put together sometime. Old songs. He sings these old 1950s, not that that's old, old 1950s tent revival songs, and he sings these old hymns from the 1800s. And, you know, we're just sitting there going, most of us have never heard them before. But he's not singing those songs for you. He's singing those songs for him. Because the gift of faith is activated in him when he sings those songs. I'll give you a hint. Watch his eye. When his eye droops, he's in. That means the gift of faith has been activated in him. I've studied Brother Ted since 1985. I'm talking like studied him, kept notes on him, how he moves, how he walks, what his face looks like, how he speaks to people, how he moves in the miraculous. I've studied him. Why? Well, because he's one of my fathers, and I want to know what my father does. And I'm telling you, I can watch him, and I can tell you when he's in. He'll be singing a song, one of these, have faith in God. Have faith in God for the answer. Have faith. I just can't get the tune. So he's got. So he's singing, and all of a sudden, I watch his eye droop, and I'll go, "Oh, here we go." And once his eye droops, man, he's in. That's what his physical body does when he droops. He's in. For me, when I'm in the gift of faith, you'll see me just like this. It's like I'm looking at you, but I'm not seeing anybody. I'm just there. When you move in the gift of faith, It is that supernatural endowment of faith that is beyond it. You ever heard of somebody used to, something's happening, they've had such an adrenaline rush, they pick up cars and throw them? I'm talking like it's that kind of faith. Nothing built, it's like whoosh. All of a sudden you got faith. And I remember multiple times, I can't even tell you how many times, where I'll step down and to start praying for people and boom, I'm not there anymore. I'm not looking at you. I'm not seeing you. You're seeing me look at you, but I'm not looking at you. I'm just there. And in that, I can just lay hands on you and I know it's done. There's not even a question. There's not a thought. It's just boom, 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 boom. When that gift hits, I'll give you one example. It was in Northern Maine. When that gift hit in Northern Maine, I started on this side, and all I did when I came up to somebody is I didn't lay hands on them. I just touched them. And literally, the whole row would go down. I was in Maryland one night, and the gift of faith hit me, and there was 35 people standing on this side of the altar waiting to get prayed for. And I just said, in the name of Jesus, I release the power of God. Be healed. And all of them went out in the spirit at the exact same time. No one touched them. The gift of faith is just that rush of faith, of God's faith, that all of a sudden you know that it's done. And there's not even a question, not even a thought. And when you're in it, it's like all you are literally is a vessel. It is stinking fun. And you can work really hard and you don't even get tired. Why? Well, because it's God working through you. That gift of faith is so exciting and is so exhilarating. And it's powerful. So one of the things that I was taught as a young man, if I was going to pray for one of the gifts, just one of the gifts, it would always be pray for the gift of faith to be more active in your life. So I pray for the gift of faith. Now, do I have the gift of faith? Good answer. Let's get more people to answer with you. Do I have the gift of faith? Do you have the gift of faith? But there's a difference between having it and it being active. Amen. You want to activate the gift. You want to ask the Holy Spirit to increase that gift in your life. Lord, I want that gift. What did Paul say? He said in the book of Romans, I want to come lay my hands on you that I may impart a spiritual gift. Not that the gift isn't there because the Holy Spirit is, but to activate it. What did he say to Paul? What did he say to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1? He said that stir up the gift of God that you receive by the laying on of hands. Impartation. We talked about generational impartation on Sunday morning and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I never allow a man of God or a woman of God to come to this church where I don't get them to lay hands on me. Ever. I want impartation. I want the stirring of the gift. I want what they got. So I never let them leave. What's hilarious is I've taught the staff that, so when a guest is in my room after service and he or she has worked all morning two services, they still have a line of people to pray for because my staff knows you never let anybody that's a powerful man or woman of God leave this church without having hands laid on you. Why? Well, because they can impart a spiritual gift. They can stir that spiritual gift in your life. So that is powerful. So pray for the gift of faith. Pray for the gift of faith. God, activate it in my life. Because watch, when the gift of faith is activated, all the other gifts are activated. It's like the key gift. It's like that one gift. If you open with that one, all of them open. Question? All right, let's talk about the gifts of healing. I think I spit on myself. The gifts of healing. You'll notice that this is not singular. This is plural. One of the things that I've learned as I've talked to evangelists and Done a lot of study on the voice of healing ministers. Has anybody here ever heard of the voice of healing ministers? Great. If not, I'd encourage you to go home and get on the internet, look up the voice of healing ministers. In fact, there was a magazine. It was by Lindsay. What was his name? Anyways, I'll figure it out. There was these old magazines you can buy, 1950s magazine. John Alexander Dowie. You've got A.A. Allen. You've got William Branham. You've got R.W. Shambach. You've got L.K. Dodge. We could go through a whole list of them. John G. Lake. We got all these old timers, man, who moved in the power of God in such a dynamic way. In fact, in the 1950s and 60s, in that great outpouring of God, they would have tents that would seat up to 15,000 people. People would crowd those tents, man. Miracles. Listen, they would literally empty hospitals. You could not find an ambulance because families would rent ambulances to get their families to church to get the miracle. They would literally empty a hospital. They'd raise out right out of their beds. No, that was normal back then. And the only reason it's not normal now is not preached. And that's why we see more miracles here than many churches, because we preach it. It is always God's will to heal. That is the word of God. And so when you preach that, you bring people's expectations to draw on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the gifts of healing, what we have found is that some, because you can lay hands on all different kinds of sicknesses, but it's interesting that you'll find that evangelists and different ministers will usually, you have your general practitioner, and then you have your specialist. And I have found that many times, as a general practitioner, I'll lay hands on a lot of different people, and different sicknesses will be healed. But when I lay hands on specific things, they get healed faster. And it's probably because my faith level is higher. Brother Ted, you will not see Brother Ted come to this church and not pray for deaf ears. Usually the very first thing he's going to do is pull you out, and he's going to say, you're deaf or hard of hearing in this ear. How long has it been that way? There was a boy with a cochlear. Is that what it's called? Cochlear. And God healed that little boy. They went back behind there, and the boy could hear the whisper. Who was here for that service? Is anybody else? You were here for that service. Oh, you were. So, I mean, miracles. So Brother Ted always starts with ears. I don't know why, but R.W. Shambach dealt with ears. A.A. Allen dealt with ears. Remember, that was the lineage. You got A.A. Allen, R.W. Shambach, Ted Shuttlesworth Sr., and then that's us is next. We're in that lineage. So Brother Ted will always pray for ears. He always prays for a blind eye. In fact, he had a whole school, the deaf and blind, down in Mexico. And some of you heard him tell the story. And the problem was the headmaster brought them all to the service, 25 of them or so, and all of them were healed. Like, all of them were no longer blind, and all of them were no longer deaf. And she wrote him a very, very nasty letter. She did, seriously. She said that's what she was mad, because she no longer had a business, because everyone got healed at her place. So Brother Ted works in that. I've seen Brother Ted do, he moves a lot in what we call creative miracles. There was an evangelist that was well known in Africa, and literally every single person he prayed for cancer was healed. Every one of them. There was a man named David Nunn Sr. He was most known for tumors. And literally, they would squeegee off the stage of all the mass and the pus and the tumors. They'd squeegee off the stage halfway through because they would literally fall off people's faces. Interesting, huh? So I found that the reason it's called the gifts of healing is because There are different gifts, and the different ministers are going to move in different ways, and they have like little specialties and things that they move in and those powers. So that's God's power, and it's exciting to know that there are different gifts. Now, every single person, and this is not where we're not talking about laying hands on the sick and they shall recover, because the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So every one of us have just regular faith to use for healing. But the gifts of healing are a supernatural endowment that is not just regular faith. It is the power of God being released. Now, healing is different from a miracle. Healing is progressive. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, 6 months, a year. It could be 10 years before that miracle manifests. But the fact is that, the healing manifests. The fact is that healing is a progressive work of God. I have found that many times he works with believers through the gifts of healing, not as much the working of miracles. Not that God won't work miracles with you. But most of the time, I have found that with a Christian, with a believer, with a son and a daughter, he many times works healing because he's building your faith and trust in him through the process. Now, miracles and healing all produce the same result, health. One just takes a little bit longer to get there. But you got to keep the faith. Amen? So the Holy Spirit, the gifts are released in different ways. We find in James 5:15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. We find in Mark chapter 16:18, the laying on of hands releases the Holy Spirit to heal. Matthew 21:21-22, speaking to the sickness, which is very interesting. Jesus never once prayed for a sick person. We'll let that just sit for a second. Jesus never once prayed for a sick person to be healed. The closest he came was Lazarus in John 11. And this is what he said. Father, that they may know we are one. That's the closest he came. What he did was he spoke to the sickness. He spoke to the part of the body that was ill. He didn't ask God to heal him. The gifts were in him. And he spoke to it, and the gift was released. Luke 13:1-12, he cast out the spirit of infirmity. So that is the difference. Here we go. Let's read some. Mark 8:22-25, and he came to Bethesda, and there was a blind man. They brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eyes, we're going to have a spitting service on Sunday. I did try that once. It didn't work, but the person was angry. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit in his eyes, he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Now remember, we're talking about Jesus. So this is a healing. Jesus spit, laid hands on him, and then he said, what do you see? The blind man said, I see men walking like trees. So we see the progression of healing. So what did Jesus do? Well, I guess that didn't work. Let's move on to the next guy. No, he prayed again. And he said he put his hands on his eyes again and took him, made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So Jesus prayed more than once. There was progression, healing, but he brought the healing to completion. Amen? I've told you about the young lady I was praying for in northern Maine, my sister Sherry. That was the church she was in. It was actually His Tabernacle. Many of you don't know that. We used to have a church in Maine, a His Tabernacle Family Church in Maine. And we had started it, and it was going great. And then the pastor decided he didn't need us any longer because it was doing well. And so he called me up on the phone one day and says, well, we don't really need you any longer. And I says, no problem. We hopped an airplane the next day, rented a car, went up and 501c3, he couldn't keep anything. We literally took everything and closed the building they were in and everything because it was in our name, and then came home. But I was doing an evangelistic work up there, and there was a girl who came to me with crossed eyes. I've told you this story. With crossed eyes, and she had diabetes. When I laid hands on her, she left with crossed eyes, and, you know, we couldn't check her diabetes right there. She got up the next morning, she looked in the mirror, and her eyes were uncrossed. That's a healing. That healing happened in the nighttime. Then she went back to her doctor, and her diabetes was gone. So that is a healing. That is progressive. So it's important to know that these gifts work in this manner. Healing is progressive. That's right. Miracles are instantaneous. Now, miracles are the instantaneous release of God's power to meet the need of an impossibility. We always think healing, that's just part of it. It could be a financial miracle. I'll give you one. Jesus needed to pay his taxes. He told Peter to go fishing. Then when you pull the fish out, open his mouth, there's going to be a coin in his mouth that's enough to pay your taxes and mine. That's a financial miracle. Amen. It could be environmental. How do we know that? Jesus was asleep in the boat. Now remember, he was in the boat with professional fishermen. All of a sudden, a diabolical storm hit them. And Jesus was asleep in the bow. The disciples were freaking out, expecting to drown. They're professional fishermen, so they've been in all types of weather. So it had to be a really bad storm. So they went, woke up Jesus. Jesus said, what'd you wake me up for? They said, we were afraid. Oh, ye of little faith. Walked out and he said, winds, waves, stop. Boom, environment obeyed. That's a miracle. Environmental miracle. It might be a spiritual miracle or a physical miracle. It is an interruption of the natural by the supernatural. It's when there's something happens that cannot be explained. When they took a picture of my wife's colon, and in 7 days, two totally different photographs. How is that possible? Well, the doctor told her clearly, I don't believe in miracles. I don't believe that cancer went anywhere. I'm going to take all these biopsies, 13 of them. We're going to investigate them, make sure there's no cancer, because I don't believe it can just disappear. He did all those biopsies, came back, no cancer. They sent it all the way down to the Mayo Clinic. They couldn't find any cancer, sent it back. He wouldn't declare healing, wouldn't declare miracle. But you see photographs here and photographs here, 7 days, totally different. That's a miracle. She's a miracle. They took 84 of you. They did pronounce you dead twice. You look like you're doing pretty good. How many? Two hospitals in 1 day. She said she wouldn't make it. You're still here. That's right. That's right. That's right. And you're here. And drive. You want a new car. Oh, you're gonna. It's important to know that miracles still happen. How many of you have received a miracle here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many of you have had healing before? More hands. Healing and miracles. I don't care how you get to the end result. Get to the end result. Healing or miracle. Amen? God's love shows, showing his power and love to people. God is not natural. His kingdom is not natural. It is super, above the natural. When the working of miracles is released into the natural world, then nature must recant so God's nature can be revealed. That's a powerful statement. Even this building here you're sitting in should have cost us $3.8 million. God gave us a miracle of 1.1. Amen. Oh, question online. A year and a half ago, my cat had a seizure. It literally bit right down through my knuckle. My husband said, don't you think we should go to the hospital? I said, no, I'm going to church. We came to service, sat in the back, and Pastor Spencer, without knowing on stage, sent healing through the prophecy to my knuckle. At first, I did not realize this, and then I felt the power of God hit my hand. Instantly, I was healed. Swelling left, redness, pain, everything. I never went to the hospital and was instantly healed. Let me see. Max, financial healing would be better finances over time. Send that again. Or is this completely different? Reword that, Max.
La, la, la.
Reword that for me. So, miracles are an instantaneous working of God. So all of these gifts are where? Inside of you. If you don't know they're there, you're not going to use them. If you don't understand them, then you won't use them. The problem with that, people are not going to get their blessing. You need to realize how important you are, how powerful you are. You're not just a human walking on this planet anymore. I'm sorry. When you got born again, you are now not of this world. Amen. You need to know this. And you need to start walking in this. You need to start asking the Holy Spirit to use you in these 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit to be a blessing, to build up, to edify, to encourage and strengthen other people. And you'll find that God will use you in Walmart. God will use you at a car, at a dealership. God will use you at work. God will use you at home. I remember walking into my house after doing a revival one time in Big Flats, actually. I did a revival in Big Flats. This was many years ago. This was 1996. Excuse me. Yep. 1995. 1995 in November. And we were living in a two-bedroom apartment with 3 children, a dog that was the size of a human, a mother-in-law, and my wife and I. And we had done the revival out there. And we came back, my mother-in-law watched the children, and I walked into the house and I heard somebody vomiting. So I walked, now listen, when you walked into my bedroom, you could look right down through all the doors and you could see all the way through the house, the apartment building. So on Water Street. So I walked in my bedroom and there's my little boy puking, Cody was puking in the toilet. Straight up white, sick, not good. And I got so angry, I walked over there, laid my hands, and I said, you foul spirit of sickness, you have no right in my house. I command you to get out right now in Jesus' name. And the moment I said that, he stopped vomiting, got his color back, and was not sick another moment. That's a miracle. You have that right in your own home. You can lay hands on yourself and release the gift of healing. You know, this is who you are now. You're not some weak, pathetic person who calls themselves a Christian. You're a son and daughter of the Most High God who's put his Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, who is God. There is nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't accomplish. All these supernatural gifts are resident inside of you. We've got to start having understanding and boldness to start moving in the power of God. The people of this world, they need you. How would it change somebody if you walked up to them and started to give a word of knowledge and say, you know, Jesus loves you? You give a word of knowledge to somebody, what are they going to do? Deny God? They knew you couldn't know that. Then you start sharing the gospel, they'll get saved right there. This is what God wants to start doing in your life. So you need to start asking him to stir up the gifts. You need to start asking him to use you in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he will. Question. Oh, I'm sorry. Where are you, Mac? If God helped us get out of debt over time, is that a financial healing? I would call that more wisdom. Now, I have seen financial miracles. My wife and I, we were down in Florida, and she's never sick. She got sick. We went to the emergency room for 3 hours. Not a big deal, right? They gave her like an IV. I think that's all they did with her. An IV and maybe some Tylenol. And the bill came back at $10,000. And so we were 3 days short of having insurance. So we went to the insurance company, tried to work with them. They said, nope, you're 3 days short. So we just started praying. That hospital called us and said, you know what? You know, we just want to help you. So we've wiped off that $10,000. That's a financial miracle. I'm not sure if you remember the family, the Butt family, B-U-T-T. They had $80,000 in hospital debt. And the hospital called them up and said, you know, we just want to forgive that debt. We're just gonna take it away. We figured it up within three families within this church, over $160,000 of just medical bills were wiped out by a financial miracle of God. We're getting ready this coming Sunday. You don't want to miss it. We're going to start talking about the actual series is called Spent. And what it is we're going to teach you how to get out of debt supernaturally. God is going to do some supernatural debt cancellation. We're going to teach you not only that, but also the practical part of living prudently before the Lord with his money. Amen. Not your money, his money. And so we're going to teach you how to be successful in your finances. How many of you want to have more money? How many of you want to have less money? Okay, I didn't see one hand go up. Amen. How many of you want God to take away some of your debt? How many of you wouldn't mind some supernatural debt cancellation? Amen. How many of you wouldn't mind just being wise enough to get rid of some debt? Amen. How many of you don't want to be choked by your debt? Amen. We're going to start teaching you that. We're going to do a four-week series on that right here at His Tabernacle. Any more questions on the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Every week you see them here. You need to be able to, from your seat, go, oh, that was the word of knowledge. Pastor stands up and says, somebody's feeling this and this and this. Oh, that's the word of knowledge. And then I say, in Jesus' name, I release the power of God. And you'll say, well, that either released the gifts of healing or the working of miracles. When we did the miracle night, we saw more miracles than we saw healing. I think it was just God just confirming what we were doing. Question. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for watching online. I want to remind everybody online, you can give right where you are. Hi, Denise Rollins. Serena, you're sitting right there, honey. Oh, you're not Serena. I'm sorry. I knew that better. I'm sorry. Wow. I don't know why I thought that. But here we go. I want to say hi to my cousin Denise, Kelly, Max. Where are you? Where is Max? Syracuse, Charmaine, Lisa, Todd, Buddy Jenkins, Holly Sullivan, Nicole Parks. Hi, Nicole Parks. John Maloney, Isaac, you're sitting here. Crystal Clark, Melinda Rohde, let me see, Catherine, Tina, Emily, Donna, you're sitting here. Oh, Donna Berry is watching. Somebody stole your phone. Michael, Shane, Robert, Mike Kimball, Michael. Let me see. Charlene. Wow, it's a good crew tonight. Thank you all for watching. Remember, you can give right online. I want to remind you to give here. And you never come to the King's house without a gift. You got nothing else, pull the lint out of your belly button. Let it be seed for next week. But always remember, if you have no seed, it means you've eaten your seed. If you eat all your seed, how will you ever have a harvest again? So whenever you have increase, you tithe, number one, say amen. And then you seed, whether it's small or large, that's dependent on whether you want your whatever increase you want. But the fact still comes down to is you should always seed. Always seed. Become a perpetual seeder. That means you have a perpetual harvest. Amen? Large or small, always come to the King's house with a gift. I love you. Have an awesome night. Merry Christmas. Yeah, well, then you know you're going to get a harvest. All right. I love you. You can seed your Harley hat. Yes, you can.